You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening. And this morning I'm speaking to Skalk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. Now, overnight there's been a little bit of weakness in the US futures markets, but nothing to write home about. In fact, they're clawing their way back a little bit. But with the Democrat convention in full swing and the last 2 weeks of the Northern Hemisphere summer, as I keep on banging on about, it's going to be a relatively thin and quite choppy next couple of weeks, I would have thought, Skalk.
No, I totally agree. We said it last night, and we've said it, for quite some time. I think the environment that we're going into now is going to be a choppy one, as you mentioned. And you can see it in our volumes. I mean, our volumes for the past 5 days, I think there was one day, out of the past 5 days where we actually surpassed the 20 billion, value mark. So we thin, and I think that thin is sort of the thinness in the market, or of course less trade. I would say mainly due to investors saying, well, firstly, we've seen a great recovery since March. Now, a lot of markets are moving into the green, year-to-date mark. And, looking towards the elections now, coming into November, I think there's a lot of nervousness and uncertainty in the market.
I have to say, talking about the election before we get onto the markets, I woke up at around about 3:30 this morning for some extraordinary reason. Actually, there was a big storm here. It woke me up. And I turned the television on, and as I turned it on, Barack Obama was starting his speech. And I thought to myself, goodness me, the difference between the way that you conduct yourself and the person that's in the Oval Office at the moment. I mean, it's a gulf. There's a gulf between those two people. And although Barack Obama was by no means perfect, in fact, he was in many ways, in certain areas, particularly foreign policy, wasn't a particularly good president. But goodness me, the way he comports himself, it was amazing. I couldn't believe what we've come to put up with over the last 3.5-4 years.
Yeah, it's I must say it made life interesting. I must say, I think life without Trump, and let's not, let's not call him a loser, because last time around he was lagging the polls as well going into the actual elections.
Oh yeah.
Up to the very last second, everybody was calling him he's going to lose, and he won. So, but I must say, life is going to be pretty boring without him. But you can't compare the two. You can't compare the two.
Let's not get into politics now, because I know you've got a 10 o'clock meeting. So let's get on with the markets. The markets look like this morning on my screen anyway. 17.22 is the dollar rand. The British pound against the rand is 22.54. The euro rand is 20.43. And the euro dollar. Dollar's a bit stronger this morning, 118.65. Well, compared to this time yesterday anyway, it's about 50, 60 basis points better than it was 24 hours ago. Last night in the United States, the Dow Jones fell by 0.3%, the S&P fell by 0.4%, and the Nasdaq was the worst off with a 0.6% fall. This morning, the Nasdaq futures and the S&P futures are both slightly weaker, as are the Dow futures. The gold price, $1,946, which is up $16.50 per ounce. The platinum price is $937, which is up $7. Where's palladium, please?
It's played also a bit stronger. I mean, looking at it, the palladium price is about $7 stronger, trading at $2,162 this morning.
Excellent. Okay, West Texas, that's the crude oil, of course, is down around about 0.8% or 36 cents a barrel to $42.57. Brent crude oil is $45 on the nose, which is down 37 cents or 0.8% as well. Quite a bit coming out of the Stock Exchange News Service. I see Impala's just in the last half hour come out with a trading statement, Skalk.
Solid as expected. They were looking at, I think the most important thing for me was global operations, delivered production volumes on the top end of the guide, that was recommended. So yeah, it's a bit softer this morning, again, comparing to the likes of Impala or Amplat, it just went into the green. So there we go.
There we are.
Opened up a little bit weaker this morning, but now gone into the green. Phenomenal results. I mean, when you look at this the headline earnings per share, what is delivered, increase, they're looking at an increase between 413% to 433%. Now, I just literally just looked at, because this is going to be year-end results to the 30th of June. And if you reduce that, let's call it 20 rand, because they guided, they said it's going to be between, you know, 20 rand 7 cents and 20 rand 85 cents. We're looking at a company, Impala Platinum, that's currently trading at a historic PE of 8 times. I want to reiterate this. This is single figures, 8 times, you know, historic PE. So I think this is a you know, big win for Impala Platinum. And you need to ask yourself the question, do you think, you know, that's going to, you know, do we see a change? Do we see a drop off in palladium and platinum prices? This is what Impala is predominantly, you know, mining. I can't see that. You know, I can't see a huge drop off in you know, those commodity prices. And the second question you need to ask yourself, do you see a much, much stronger rand, you know, from current levels going forward? And again, I think it'd be difficult to say yes. So, you know, a company trading at eight PE, with this type of, you know, forecast, I think it's not only a big win, but definitely something that I would put on my radar as a possible buy, you know, going forward.
Even though it was not long ago in the 50s, and it's gone into, where is it now, Scott? Just give us the latest on that Impala price.
It's now trading at 167 rand 36 cents. So literally, we call it about 5 cents stronger this morning.
Okay, so it's gone from 55 to 165. But on the other hand, if you look back, it has been 350 in the past and maybe even higher. I can't remember. So worth looking at. The other things coming out this morning, quite a few. Imperial Logistics trading statement. We don't need to worry too much about that one. Mr. Price, though, I want to look at that one. The share price down around about 3%. This is the trading update for the 20 weeks ended 15th of August, and trading statement for the 6 months ended 26th of September. What did you think?
Well, you know, I love the way how that broke the whole trading update, you know, the period for March and April and May to June and June since then. You know, I think, you know, firstly, I think two things. I'm sounding like this LP, and for all the younger people, you know, LP is something like a CD, but not the same. But anyway, I'm sounding like this LP that's got stuck on stronger balance sheets, and I think they've made it clear that their balance sheet is very, very strong. Because remember, a few weeks ago, or let's call it a month or two ago, they actually brought out a SENS announcement stating that they would most probably need to do a rights issue. There's a lot of you know, question marks around that, purely because they were sitting with, you know, no debt, and you know, people were wondering why would they need to do a rights issue. So suddenly, you know, all the rumors flared up and say, well, wow, that might be the group that's going to be buying Jet, you know, from Edcon. Yes. And then that's the pause, and they say, well, again, they are looking at doing an acquisition in this weaker market. And the market took that as a positive, because this is what you want to see from your company that you invested in. It's a company that uses this weaker environment, typically the Warren Buffett way, where you say, you need to be buying where there's blood in the streets. And that was taken positive. And I think that the one thing that came out of this trading statement is how they actually mentioned that they the balance sheet is a lot stronger. And while they are still evaluating, you know, potential acquisitions, they've got no targets. So I think that, to a certain extent, is taken a little bit. You know, the 20% they guided the basic headline earnings per share and earnings per share, and it's going to be, let's call it, at least 20% weaker. And I don't think that is what the market is really, you know, worried about, because this is very much in line with your Truers, you know, those type of drop-offs. I think the market is a little bit disappointed, because I seriously think that they were hoping or thinking that Mr. Price will use this weaker environment to do acquisitions, which now seems not to be the case.
Okay, we go from now retailers to more diggers. We've done an Impala, digging it out the ground, and now we go to South 32 and Goldfields. You can choose. Well, you can just briefly comment on both of those. Any of them catch your eye? Either of them, rather,
yeah,
catch your eye.
I think both of them has guided well enough to you know, not really surprise the market. Goldfields made it very clear that they can have extremely solid you know, with results. And this was the case. And again, no surprise. Weaker rand, much stronger gold price. This is not unheard of. The one thing that actually caught my eye, you know, for and I actually mentioned it to somebody last night. So for investment that you know, people, and we chatted about, you know, Warren Buffett buying gold now.
Yes.
A person that historically, you know, are looking for income. You know, why are you buying a commodity that yields no income? Now, there's the answer. I mean, we see Goldfields that they up their dividends. I mean, suddenly in an environment where every single company and bank and property or rate company, you know, are dropping or, you know, disregarding the dividends in general, they're pushing it up. So dividends went up, you know, from let's call it 60 cents last year around, and now they're going to pay out a 1.60 you know, dividend. So
I don't think the day is far away when we get, if the gold price pushes back through 2000 and maybe goes even beyond that, I don't think the day of a special dividend from a gold company is that far off, which is something that's unheard of, I think.
It is. It's totally unheard of. And am I still surprised that somebody like Warren Buffett bought Barrick in a gold mining? No, I don't think so. He really looked at this as a potential, you know, income-paying investment.
Yes.
You need to ask yourself the question, because, you know, you were alluding to 2000. Because remember, not long ago, you know, we were thinking $2,000 on the gold price is totally unheard of. I mean, that'll never happen. Now it happened. Now we sort of we're already talking about normalization, you know, of a $2,000, you know, gold price environment. I think that's the big question, you know, and I think that's going to be, you know, answered not really through the commodity itself, but and also not really uncertainty, because it you know, I always call gold the fear factor investment. But I do think that you need to ask yourself the question: what's the future on the dollar? And this type of stimulus, this type of, you know, money printing, you know, M2 money printing that we've seen from the US side, if this continues, you know, I can't see, you know, the dollar, you know, trading much lower. So,
no.
Yeah, I think interesting environment, interesting, you know, how things has changed. You know, 2015, 2016, you know, most of these mines, you were priced for bankruptcy. You know, if you've spoken, and I've spoken to quite a few, you know, very, you know, knowledgeable colleagues of mine who back then told me, Scott, but you don't understand. They are going to go bankrupt. There's no way that they, you know, that they will survive. Well, they survived, and look at us now. I mean, now we're already talking about special dividends and increase in dividends and future dividends. Anyway, great stuff. Great stuff coming out from Goldfields.
So no, Standard Bank we haven't mentioned. You've got to give us a minute on Standard Bank, if you would.
We need to. I mean, that's where I'm getting to. So, you know, we've been getting used to this. I mean, a week ago we were talking about APSA, you know, dropping 92%, or at least 92% in headline earnings per share. You know, we were often talking about, oh, look at the banks. The banks are priced, you know, for bankruptcy at a PE these days. You're talking about single digit, you know, PEs. You know, this is just phenomenal. So I think this is just, again, a wake-up call. We're looking at profit attributable to ordinary shareholders. It's going to be, you know, declining, declined by 71%. So basic headline earnings per share, same story, 71% down. And so I did some digging, and I still believe, and I want to make this clear, that do I think that banks in general, South Africa, because we recently, when I heard, I think it was Alan Gray that came out and said in one of the reports that they haven't seen, you know, banks being priced this cheap, you know, I think it was two and a half decades.
Yes.
And that is true, you know, on a PE basis. And I know a lot of people will always argue, and I'm one of those people, you don't really value a bank on a PE basis, a price to earning basis. You need to look at, you know, the two things that we like to look when we value banks is the, you know, price to book or price to net asset value. And then look at their return on equity, you know, what are they providing? And I just did a quick calculation looking at the four banks, and I'm excluding Capitec specifically because they've been trading at this exuberant price to book for many years now. So I just looked at Standard Bank, Nedbank, Absa, and FirstRand. And when you look at it, Standard Bank for the past 10 years has been trading at an average price to book of 1.661 times. So it went up at one stage, I think, close to two times, but and on average, let's call it about 1.6 times. Currently, Standard Bank is trading at a 0.96 historic price to book. And when you look at it on a forward basis, we're looking at a price to book of 0.9. You know, looking at the ROEs or return on equities on average, didn't really come down that much. I mean, it is lower than a few years ago. But again, if you look at their ROEs for the past 10 years, they were trading at an ROE of around about just shy of 15%, to be exactly 14.94%. Currently, the ROE, and we can expect that to come down now. But we're looking at still around about the 14.7% ROEs on Standard Bank. So all that I'm saying here is be careful looking at this results, looking at a 71% decrease. From a solvency point of view, or capital adequacy point of view, our banks are extremely healthy. They're not in distress.
They've put a lot of money aside. I mean, in a simple way, you say they're putting money aside for a rainy day. They've been encouraged to do so by the South African Reserve Bank. They're doing it anyway. South African banks are very, very well run, no matter what you say about banks. You may see your statement every month and say, goodness me, look how much you've charged me, compared to, for example, in the UK, where banking is virtually free. But, you know, they are well run, and they're very prudent. So when the good times do come back, and it may be a couple of years, they are going to be a stand-up buy.
Yes, and I love the way you actually emphasize they will be. So because, you know, if you're going to enter into the local banks now, have a time horizon of at least 5 years. You know, I think if you've got a time horizon from to buy in August and trying to make a few bob, you know, until December or even, you know, first quarter next year, you will most probably be disappointed because remember, we're sitting in a lower interest rate environment. We're still sitting in a stressed environment where companies are going, you know, under due to COVID-19. People are being retrenched and the banks are feeling it. But you mentioned it, and the banks are strong. I mean, just looking at Standard Bank, they, you know, sold a 20% stake in Industrial and Commercial Bank of China, Argentina, during this period, specifically to strengthen their balance sheet.
Right.
So this will take a bit longer. We will see the money flow taking a bit longer to move back into the banks. I would prefer the shorter term period to first use, you know, entries like your consumer staples, specifically your SPARs, your ShopRites, those as the first entry, you know, with people having a little bit more money due to this lower interest rate environment. I think the second phase, we will see a movement back to banks, and that might not necessarily be, you know, in a day or two. So again, I love the
keep them on the list. Keep them on the list of potential buyers.
And if you buy them now, and just for the record, I am invested in Standard Bank. I've got a long-term, you know, view on this bank, and I do love it. I do love these levels, and I'm happy to sit tight.
I don't think anyone can really love a bank, but anyway, that's you, Skulk. You're an individual. You're a maverick. The movers on the JSE this morning, as I see them, 15 minutes delayed. Redefine up 3.5%. Truworths up 2.4%. Sasol up 1.5% after a pretty torrid few days. JSE Limited up 1.1% despite the low volumes recently. South 32 after its results down 0.8%. On the downside, Hammerson down 5.4%. Mr Price down 3.25%. Sanlam down 2.8% after their results yesterday. And AB InBev down 2.6%. What are the indices doing at this very moment after 54 minutes of trading? Skulk Low, over to you.
At this current moment, the JSE All Share is trading at 55,794. That's down 1.13%. Resources, again, you know, are being hit the hardest. We're looking at the resource index that is down 1.7%. Industrial index, that is down 0.7%. And, yes, financials taking a bit of a breather this morning. You know, after a nice run yesterday, we're looking at financials that is down 1.3%.
Okay, and it looks fairly quiet out there. But, Skulk, thank you so much for your contributions this week, last night and this morning. You're claiming that you're going off for a meeting at 10 o'clock. I've got a feeling you're just going down to the rocks with the wife to watch the whales. No, that's just, that's just me.
I know whatever I'm going to do now at 10 o'clock, I'm not having tea, because we've been talking about, you know, sort of the West, you know, the Trump and you know, how these guys are fighting. And they're fighting, you know, on Twitter. You know, you don't want to be an opposition leader in Russia, because I don't know if you've seen this morning, because the opposition leader, you know, Alexei Navalny, I don't know if I've pronounced that correct, he's been poisoned again. I mean, they're running, you know, they're also going to the polls. He's been poisoned. And when I say again, I think it's about the third or the fourth time where he's been poisoned, but this time around, you know, it doesn't sound too good. I mean, he's... So yes... you know, in the West,
well, that's a very obscure way of disguising the fact that you're actually not going to a meeting, you're actually going to watch the whales, but I appreciate you trying to deflect my skepticism.
Oh, you got me.
Okay, Skulk, thanks very much. Have a lovely weekend. We'll speak next Wednesday. That's Skulk Lowe from PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.